AveMariaRadio.net.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio, which survives only through the generosity of our listeners. To help spread Ave Maria Radio, become a member by calling 877-288-1077 or visit AveMariaRadio.net.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. From the reliability of the New Testament to the crisis over immigration to the sanctity of human life, we'll be taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990 WDEO.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today, the story of a 9-bead rosary and the man who kept it always at hand. Plus, how Sister St. William started a fad at St. Colum Hill School. At the end of the program, I will give you an address to write if you would like to make rosaries for the missions. A fitting farewell for 9-bead O'Connell. When I was a kid, most radios in our neighborhood were tuned into the family rosary at 7 every evening. For 20 minutes or so, a sort of quiet time fell over the neighborhood as we knelt on the floor around our floor model radio to join in the age-old prayer. We grew up in a time when having a rosary in our pocket was as natural as having a handkerchief, a penknife, and a few marbles. The rosary and the Angelus were as much part of our lives and religious practices as weekly confession and the fast before Holy Communion. And if we should chance to forget the hallowed prayer, not likely in the environment of our upbringing, we had people around us who would not allow us to forget for long. One of these people was 9-bead O'Connell. 9-bead was a retired railroader who lived in a neat little apartment across the street from Munstein's Market. Some folks said it was the same flat where he grew up, and that he had never really gone far from it, even though he was probably pushing 70. 9-bead was our local authority on Cleveland Indians baseball and on the record-breaking runs of the New York Central's crack trains, like the Empire State Express and the 20th Century Limited. At the same time, 9-bead was never seen without the black beads of a rosary curled around his right hand. The beads were as much part of him as his fingernails or stubby beard. Whenever the rosary was part of a parish devotion, you could be sure to hear 9-bead's familiar Galway accent stand out from the rest of the voices. The name 9-bead came from the middle decade of the old black rosary he always carried. It seems that it had broken one time, and 9-bead managed to hook it together, but had somehow lost a bead in the process. As a result, the third decade of the rosary, when led by 9-bead O'Connell, always consisted of 9 Hail Marys. Over the years, a lot of people tried to help him out by giving 9-bead a new rosary. He always accepted the beads because he had a habit of giving them out to anyone who appeared to need them. But the old faithful rosary with the 9-bead decade was one that he used. Suggestions that he supply an extra Hail Mary in the middle decade fell on deaf ears. 9-bead never acknowledged such a comment and went on praying his 9 Hail Mary decade without a flutter. Like many an Irishman, only a generation or so from the Emerald Isle, 9-bead O'Connell never married. He was devoted to his parents, his church, and his job. When his parents died, 9-bead stayed in the same flat where he had been raised. He shared it with a feisty little canary he called Goldie. He liked to sit on the stoop and watch us playing stickball games while the black beads moved soundlessly through his calloused fingers. It was not uncommon for people to mention some particular concern they had and to ask Ninebead to remember them when he told his beads that day. You could always count on that, too. I wish I could count the number of arithmetic tests or spelling lessons that I entrusted to Ninebead O'Connell. I was well into high school when Ninebead died while listening to a Cleveland Indian ball game on his little radio. When Mrs. Scully came by with his supper that evening, she found him sitting in his stuffed chair with the radio playing, a piece of paper on which he would record the hits, runs, and errors of the game on the floor next to the chair and his old rosary beads in his hand. Mama came to the Ancient Order of Hibernians Hall with us to pay our respect. She commented that every parish needs a Ninebead O'Connell and that we should count ourselves as blessed by God to have had him for so many a year. Monsignor Hanratty, still a powerful iron-jawed priest who was almost due for retirement himself, said, "Nine." Danny's face was a mass of concentration. Bloke had his half smile, and I could tell he was holding his breath. 10. No. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, Monsignor said. Ninebead O'Connell had earned his mark. Even Monsignor Hanratty knew that. Every parish needs a Ninebead O'Connell, and I always pray that every parish will have one. How Sister St. William started a fad. One of the great grand traditions at St. Columbkilles School was the way the nuns went to the limit to decorate classrooms using the theme, usually religious, of the month or season. Decorations typically consisted of hand-lettered signs and 40 or 50 tons of the colored paper that seemed to grow wild in the supply cupboards of each classroom. One year, Sister St. William, the art teacher, got the bug to decorate the school's main hallway. Sister St. William was not a class teacher. She hustled from one classroom to the next, teaching art to students from first to eighth grades. So she had no classroom to her own and no space she needed to decorate. We should not have been surprised one fall to see Sister spending her free time in the main hallway cleaning the wall by the office, the only wall in the school without a row of coat hooks. It was a large empty space painted in the nondescript tan that dominated the interior of the school. When we asked the young nun what she had planned, Sister St. William matter-of-factly explained that October, Mary's month of the Rosary, was fast approaching. Since the main hall never had before been decorated, she had our rapt attention. In our world, any change at all was a matter of interest. As the week wore on, the wall changed from institutional tan to a beautiful light blue, the color of the sky on a fantastically good stickball day. It was a major improvement. Our janitor, Finneran, was helping with the painting. In the meantime, Sister St. William had been teaching us in art class how to take a long piece of string and tie barrel knots at intervals to make rosaries. When she returned to the classrooms with boxes of little crucifixes, we saw that we were making the real thing. Many groups make string rosaries to send to the missions, Sister William told us, and they are not only easy, but also fun to make. It was a great art project. Our teacher didn't mind us talking among ourselves while we tied knots, so long as we didn't go overboard. It was not uncommon during these days to see students, boys as well as girls, sitting around the playground with a long string in their fingers, tying knots whenever and wherever they could. There were mistakes, too, and we often joked about the 9-bead decades or the 4 or 6-decade rosaries we made in our haste to outproduce our friends in what became an official and unofficial competition. "I've made 3 already," Floke bragged. Regan one-upped Floke, but Sheila O'Grady boasted, having a little bag with 10 rosaries in it. In the meantime, Sister St. William continued working on her wall, adding the white and gray image of an archway. Finneran, her devoted helper, lugged a tall, skinny table into the hallway and set it aside for whatever came next. As September waned, our teacher painted the image of Mary, Our Lady of Lourdes, on the wall. She didn't use a smidgen of colored paper. It was a painting worthy of any artist we had ever met. The skinny table was painted white and was placed next to the image. A large basket was set on the table, and we were encouraged to put our handmade rosaries into it. In the blink of an eye, the basket was filled almost to overflowing. When October arrived, we assembled in the church for a student mass, and we were told to be seated after the gospel. Monsignor Hanratty walked to the communion rail and opened the gate so he could walk out into the aisle. This in itself was a startling departure from usual form. "October is the month of the Holy Rosary," he told us, "and we at St. Columbkill have a great opportunity to help Mother Mary pass on her favorite prayer." Thanks to the basket in the hall of the school, Monsignor Hanratty explained everyone could have a rosary. He also said that anyone could take 1 or 2 or more rosaries if they knew someone who would like to have one. The tradition of student-made string rosaries continued long after the last Patrick boy, me, had left St. Columbkill for high school and beyond. Whenever anyone went in the school, they would encounter the basket of rosaries. It was never announced. There were no signs or placards. People simply knew that they were there for the taking. By the same token, it was a common sight for a student to stop by the basket for a moment and unload a dozen or so newly made string rosaries without fanfare or reward. It was also a custom, begun spontaneously and continued until the demise of the ancient school, to pause for an instant and say a quick Hail Mary when passing the image of Mary on the wall. Somehow, time and climate never faded the picture. It was never retouched because it never seemed to need it. I often wondered what happened to that painting when the old school came down by the wrecking ball. No one, to my knowledge, had ever taken a picture of it. But we really didn't need one. The image was permanently etched in our minds, and more important, in our hearts. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's stories came from that well-known writer of Irish tales, Sean Patrick. If you would like to make rope rosaries for the missions, write to Our Lady's Rosary Makers, 4611 Poplar Level Road, P.O. Box 37080, Louisville, Kentucky 40233. That's Our Lady's Rosary Makers, 4611 Poplar Level Road, P.O. Box 37080, Louisville, Kentucky 40233, or go to Our Lady's Rosary Makers online.
Hi, Tom Lowy here, Development Director for Ave Maria Radio. Our spring drive is April 9th through the 13th this year. That's the week after Easter Sunday. And we really need volunteers to make this drive successful. If you can spare 2 hours on any of the days of the drive, that's April 9th through the 13th, give us a call at 877-288-1077 or